Spoken word.
A taste of Melbourne's diverse poetry scene.
Poets using their voices to entertain, to move, to take you on a journey.
Connecting you to grassroots poetry and performance.
Good morning and welcome to the 3CR Spoken Word Program. My name is Di Cousins and today I'm talking to Maria van Nieuwen about her new book, Two Tongues. Welcome, Maria.
Welcome, Diane, and thank you for inviting me. I would first like to acknowledge the traditional owners of where I speak today, the unceded lands of the Turrbal and Yuggera peoples.
And where are we speaking to you? Where are you located at the moment?
Nyangin, which is Brisbane.
Great. And your family's background is Yugambeh and Mananjali, is that correct?
Yeah, my mother's language is Yugambeh and also her language is Mananjali, which is a dialect of Yugambeh.
And from the point of view of those who are less familiar with those names, the areas refer to southern Queensland and northern New South Wales, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and I'd like to acknowledge that we are recording on Wurundjeri country in Naam, Melbourne. So, Maria, congratulations on your new book, Two Tongues.
Thank you.
And would you like to tell me how it came about? How did you, because you're a senior member of the community, I think it mentions you've turned 70.
Yep.
And so this is your first full-length poetry collection, as I understand it.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
So tell me, how did it all come about?
I was always interested in writing and I really enjoyed writing. I was living in the Netherlands at the time and I used to write to my mother quite a lot, and I really started to enjoy that. I wrote her probably every 2 weeks. I wrote her so much because she missed me and really didn't like me living overseas. And then when I came back to Australia, it was a couple of years till I got back into writing, but this time it was in Alice Springs, where I was working together with my husband, that I did a poetry workshop there and also a creative writing short course. And so that's where it started to blossom a bit more.
And who did you do the creative writing workshop with, a particularly interesting teacher?
Yes, she was a poet, Sue Fielding is her name. She does a lot within Darwin and Alice Springs area. It was a renowned poet, writer. So I did a course with her. And then there was Laurie May, who is a Indigenous woman who organises poetry festival in Alice Springs every 2 years. And she did a couple of workshops, but she also once a month did a stand-up poetry, sort of like a slam sort of thing. And I used to do that also, stand up and read my poetry. I think when I came back to Brisbane after 6 years, I started to write, but really never had any formal training as such.
But I understand that you've been mentored by Maxine Beniba-Clark for the past year. Is that correct?
Yes, in 2025. In 2024, I won the Next Chapter fellowship, and which gave me the opportunity to choose my own mentor. And I knew Maxine from visiting quite a few writers' festivals, emerging writers' festivals. Even though I lived in Alice Springs, I used to travel wherever Ellen went, and Ellen was senior editor for Black and Right at State Library, and used to go around to different festivals to train up new editors.
Wonderful. And let's just mention that your daughter is also the much acclaimed poet Ellen Van Nieuwen.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Yep.
So let's get to your new book, Two Tongues. How did the whole book come about? Because it's a lot of poetry.
Well, I won the David Unipen Award in 2023, the end of 2023, and I won the next chapter in beginning 2024. And when I won the David Unipen Award and the next chapter, I really didn't have very many poems. I think I might have had about 20 or something like that, or not even that. And my daughter's publisher and Ellen, I should say, they encouraged me to enter these two prestigious awards. And when I won them, I just thought, oh my goodness, I really didn't. It was such a surprise. And then because of the mentorship that I received from the next chapter, for a period of about a year, I was able to put my collection together and seriously write.
It's a wonderful thing to have been able to do that. So let's start with some poems. Would you like to read Yalani?
Yes. So as the first poem in my collection, Yalani. A word is a silent note, rooted in the mouth, released. It becomes an echo, always returning. When I speak out loud, it comes back to my birth tongue.
And that's an interesting thing. So your birth tongue is Yugambeh, is that right?
Yes, Yugambeh Mulindjali, yep.
Yeah.
My mother's language.
So tell me about growing up with both English and your mother's language. And we're going to lead into the next poem, which is the Two Tongues poem, the title poem of the book. But how was it growing up with those two languages when perhaps there was only intermittent speaking of your mother's language? Or was there a complete conversational immersion in your mother's language?
No, I was brought up with my indigenous language, but the main language was English because my mother, her parents, and the great grandparents were not allowed. They were forbidden to speak language. And when my mother spoke any language, she would put her hand over her mouth.
Wow.
She was afraid. Because it was forbidden.
Yeah.
And so it is with much loss, I feel, when I speak English.
Yes. So what I understand from reading your book is that there are certain key words that remain in the language, you know, words like children and skin and war and grave and native country and so on, which are just written in as in the original language in the poetry. But perhaps how was that those special words remained in conversational language?
Well, I think I used the Yugambeh dictionary. We have in Beenleigh, south of Brisbane, a Yugambeh museum with a lot of my relatives hanging on the wall.
Amazing.
My great-great-grandfather is there, which is, it's fantastic. And, you know, we used to visit Yugambeh land, quite a lot of Yugambeh country, I should say. And that is really special to have that. But Two Tongues is sort of like being brought up in two cultures or two languages. And the sadness of not being able to speak the language or even pass it on to my children. Ellen had a poetry collection called Throat, and I was looking at that, and I found these words within her collection, and it said, "What does it mean to be held in another tongue?" And I thought, yes, that's how Two Tongues feels for me. And the next poem is called Two Tongues.
So let's hear the poem Two Tongues.
Two tongues lie within my mouth, one black, one white, argue endlessly, then laugh and quarrel, then laugh and quarrel, hug each other when cold, awaits the morning sun, then laugh and quarrel, then laugh and sing as kin.
Beautiful. It's nice to imagine that the languages are kind of embodied beings who are trying to live together but who kind of laugh, but then they quarrel, but then they laugh, but then they quarrel. It's a lovely image.
I think it's also within this book, I felt very much so the loss of language. And when I went through the dictionary, there was only, you know, some words I couldn't find that I really wanted to say, that they just weren't there because there was no translation, there was no word. And there was also a couple of words that my mother used to speak quite a lot, and I couldn't find them there either. So the loss of language is very much present in my life.
Yeah. But I'm grateful that you've been able to express yourself, to share your poetry through the language of poetry. So let's move to another poem, Wadhun. What's the...
Wadhun.
Wadhun.
Is mother. Wadhun. When my mother died, she left behind a woman who became a child, an orphan, searching in a bottomless world. Body knows when things shift. When my mother died, she left behind me running from the hospital to escape reality, ringing her obsessively to answer, hoping the woman in the bed was not her. When my mother died, she left behind me searching for the house that almost broke us, our old kitchen cupboard stacked with memories, chipped plates, ups, our splintered lives. Mum picked up the pieces, kept them, reminder of her past, or maybe because they were still useful. When my mother died, she left behind me dreaming. Wadhun left a map on country to find her spirit to bring home.
Yes, I think it's one of the most difficult griefs, the loss of a mother.
Thank you. Yes, it's, I'm glad you appreciate it, for sure. It was a difficult time. My mother was the matriarch of our family, was a very small woman like me, and my dad was completely opposite, a very tall, thin man.
Yes.
And my mum was very quiet and still and resilient and strong. Not a shouter or anything like that. She was just someone that made us feel safe.
Let's go to the poem Kali. And I'm just having a look in the glossary. Kali means this here in Yugambeh language.
Yes. A poem I wrote in the desert in Alice Springs. And it was really about my discovery and my question, where did poetry come from?
Oh, and just tell me, were you doing some special poetry workshop when you were in Alice Springs?
I did many workshops in Alice Springs. They weren't long. They were quite short workshops every now and again. Like I said, Alice Springs is a very unusual but also very creative place to live in. I think people were shut off from the world and decided to become creative. They had nothing else to do. But there were about 26,000 people who lived there. I worked for Central Land Council, which is in their library, and that was an Indigenous organisation.
Great, yeah.
I will read Kali.
Yep.
Between cold desert nights and the threshold of sleep, unsure of when or how poetry found me, my mind was empty, no dazzling thoughts of interest, no scholarly wisdom on my breath. What did I know of words, rhyme, or foreign tongue of English, not birth within my blood? There was no singing in my ear, no calling from the hills, only silence, rich scent of myrtle, as I slipped my feet in sacred waters. Something touched my soul, swam up into my chest, filled my heart, reached its brim. Was inspiration courage or great-grandfather's eyes on the museum wall looking back at me? Release hidden spores of poetry. Kali inside me, black voice.
Wonderful experience that you've been able to share with us. That feeling of this film being filled, the fullness of the inspiration, the hidden spores of poetry inside you, the black voice being able to come out.
Thank you.
And I'm speaking to Maria van Nieuwen, an Indigenous poet, and we're talking about her first full-length poetry collection called Two Tongues. It's been given a lovely book blurb by Maxine Beniba-Clark, a stunning, masterful debut. So that's a great endorsement. Let's go to another poem. Would you like to read Kalan?
Yes. I'll tell you a little bit about the poem Kalan, which is in English translated as sharp. And you can bear a woman that I know invited me to send in different poems to be entered into an exhibition in Tokyo. It would be an exhibition of all different countries. I think it must have been about 32 countries. And this poem was translated in English but also Japanese. I went to Tokyo with my children, and this is Cullen. How easy a mind can be shattered into pieces. 2 days ago was whole inside. Now my work seems nothing as their cullen blade slashes my tongue from yes to no. Ancestors once felt their brutality, now becomes mine as they stitch my mouth with wire borrowed from them other unwanted. Was it a flash in the pan idea, Cookie, when you step from your tall boat hull full of cannons, guns, funded by imperial whiteness, who saw the bigger picture? First steal their country, massacre, poison, rape, murder, apartheid, felled like trees, tried to strip us leaf by leaf. Hard to get rid of these black buggers. Wash their spirits, steal their children, so on Australia Day they can stand proud of this fair, just country. Hoist the starry flag, sing their white anthem, their mongrels still trying to kill us. Dumped our culture overboard, hoping us blackfellas would vanish forever, only to be hauled ashore on our deadly ancestors' shoulders, who carried survival in their DNA. Ha!
And thank heavens you have carried survival in your DNA. And of all the days that anyone could pick to be our national day, I think Australia Day on the 26th of January is the worst possible choice.
Well, I think that a lot of people don't realise, you know, some people just don't understand what Black history means in this country. You know, it's as if to say it never happened. Atrocities never happened to First Nations people. And, you know, if you're First Nations, it's part of who you are. It's part of your history. It's in your DNA. This is knowledge that you know and carry with you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's your lived experience. I mean, you know, it's not theoretical.
It's not a made-up lie.
No, then we have plenty of those, however.
Yes.
They're not Indigenous history. Would you like to read Thousand Years?
Yes. Thousand Years. Are you Filipino, Spanish, Turkish? No comment. Were you born here? On ancestral soil. Is this your home? Thousands of years. Won't look Aboriginal. What should I look like? Are you half-caste, one-eighth? Black blood. On your mother's, father's side, wake me up from this nightmare. What is your mother's tongue screaming inside? Stolen generation? No comment. Do you know your parents? Look down at my feet, want to run. Your mother born here? Stop. Can you spell? I can spell, no comment. Do you have Aboriginality? No comment. Why don't you speak your language? Ask the colonizers, government, why. Homeless? No comment. Do you want your land back? Yes, please.
Yes, there's a terrible cultural dissonance between the Indigenous experience and those who've somehow isolated themselves from any understanding of it.
And a lot of people say to me, but that was 150 years ago. It's not like that anymore. People don't do those kind of things, and it's a lot better now. That's what they say to me. And then a couple of months ago, I think it was 2 months ago, yeah, I usually go to an Indigenous medical centre, and I couldn't because at that particular time there was no appointments available. So I went to my local doctor, I'd never been there before, and because I had such a bad earache, and you have to fill in a form and then you have to tick whether you're Aboriginal or not, or all these certain things. And then I walked in and it was an Indian doctor. Not that I have anything against Indian doctors, I'm just saying. And she looked at me and she said, oh, I saw that you ticked your Aboriginal. How much percent are you?
That's awful.
And I didn't say anything, and she asked me again, how much percent are you?
Oh, dear.
And then she didn't carry on because I didn't answer.
Right. Yes. There's a very big gap between cultural sensitivity and terrible insensitivity. And it's incredible how easy, how people who are outside of the Indigenous community can fail to understand the sensitivity of the Indigenous community.
I thought it was downright rude, please, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
saying.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just and bloody quite rude,
yeah.
Now, we won't be able to get to a poem about The Voice, but tell me, what were your thoughts about The Voice? I was out there, you know, standing, handing out how to vote yes for The Voice, but it didn't succeed. What were your thoughts about that?
Bad.
Yeah, I thought it was bad.
Very sad. I mean, I know quite a few people overseas. I used to live in Europe for 18 years.
Wow.
My husband's Dutch. Mm-hmm. My Dutch family were just appalled.
Hmm.
And other people that I know overseas, and they just couldn't understand that this is possible.
Yes, and it wasn't, you know, like there was so much misinformation. You know, started off with Malcolm Turnbull calling, you know, the voice a third chamber of Parliament, when really it was just a committee of elected representatives who would have some input into relevant legislation that affected the Indigenous community.
Yes,
you know,
exactly. And then they turned it into to completely something different.
It was shocking. And then there were some Aboriginal people who campaigned against it, and I thought, well, you know, that's really not very fair for all of the Aboriginal people who really want this.
So, and the people, the Indigenous people that were for, were against the voice were saying that the majority were for that.
Yes, supporting their case. No, I mean, it was terrible misinformation. There was so many, it was so much politics going on. There wasn't any consideration of what do Aboriginal, Indigenous people need, you know, in terms of appropriate legislation and, you know, a fair go, to use the,
you
know, the slogan of choice.
I think that comes down to, again, the lack of knowledge that white Australians have of the Indigenous culture here, of the First Nations people here in Australia.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the FN Poets.
So the FN Poets is a cento, and a cento is lines from different poets. And at the back of the page, at the back of the book, there's all these poets whose lines that I share within this poem.
Right, okay.
FN Poets. Let truth be told, no more whitewashing. Stories of scars sit between 200 pages. She is rarely named, links into a shadowy world of nothingness. I scream into the spine of the book, close my eyes, wasps lick my DNA. Surrender to the clay and ash of this landscape. When you really listen, is your listening deep?
Very beautiful poem. And I love the ending, when you really listen, is your listening deep? You know,
they're Ellen's words.
Right. Okay. Fabulous. And deep listening is what we always want to do when listening to poetry, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's not like a novel that you just race through.
No.
It's something you have to read over and over and feel it enter your mind and your heart.
And let it settle in.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, it's been wonderful speaking to you, Maria.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you. I've been speaking to Maria van Nieuwen about her new book, Two Tongues. And you'll be at the Wheeler Centre on March the 30th for the launch of Two Tongues. So, well, it's been wonderful to speak to you, Maria, and thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And my name is Di Cousins, and this has been the 3CR Spoken Word Program.